You can apply this quote to almost anything. A ship in harbor is safe, but that's not what ships are built for. Nothing exhibits great value until it's tested. Stretching, testing, and bumping is an integral part of the Christian experience. What you are needs to be known. What you have needs to be certified. It gives credence to the gospel. The believer's life was never meant to be sheltered. It's in the public domain from confession to interment. Your child will face life, whether in a public school or a private. Your marriage will be tested, even in church. No, believer, you and I are not insulated from attack, but we're not isolated either from the presence of God. Disciples on the road to Emmaus were in the trial of their lives, a crisis of faith. They had such hopes, but their hopes were dashed. So Jesus appeared to them and opened the scriptures. Disillusioned apostles were gravitating back to the old homestead in Galilee on news of the crucifixion. But Jesus anticipated their moves in advance and went before them. Paul, a prisoner of Rome, as he was walking up and down the heaving deck among hardened soldiers and reckless sailors, exhausted and weary and hungry for a half a month. Storm had blown them off course. They were headed for the rocks, but the difference was in this testimony. There stood by me this night one whose I am and whom I serve. And as he clung to the broken pieces of a ship, he also clung to the promise, you will arrive and you will stand. I will never leave you or forsake you is the promise that has never been rescinded. And the promise, friend, is for you. Pastor Fred Penny tells us how to face life trials in his message later. Now, we know this for sure. Whatever the test, he comes alongside to bring times of refreshing. A little later, Pastor Fred Penny will help us understand why trials and tests are so necessary in our lives. Now, that theme reminded me of one of the most profound peeks into the eternal, a behind-the-scenes look. Satan wanted to put Job under an examination that hell itself would set up. God didn't stop it entirely. There was a need to be combat tested, to come under fire. In every one of us, there are appetites that need testing. Flesh and spirit has to clash. But he established a boundary around Job, a limit, a fence, which hell itself could never cross. He always does, my friend, he always does. Jesus warns Peter that Satan had placed him on his schedule. He's asking to sift you, Peter. Jesus didn't promise to stop it, but he did commit to pray that his faith would not fail in the test. God never gives the devil a total carte blanche. Heaven places a limit on your trial. The process is necessary, but it's never permitted and will not be permitted to satisfy the sadistic appetite of the roaring lion. This song says he lures us to raise us. I know not all his plans, but I know I'm in his hand.
He lures us to raise us, so we can sing his praises. Whatever is his way, all is well.
Pastor Fred Penny will bring a message shortly that will speak to the whys and hows of the trials we face in our lifetime, what they achieve, and why they are necessary. The apostle experienced it all. From dank underground prison to shipwreck, he could be in abundance or he could be destitute, he could be exalted or abased, live or die, he could take it either way. Why me? Nah, that was not in his lexicon. He said, "In all these things, I'm more than a conqueror." The secret? He anchored his soul to this. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. He could have written this song.
Thank you.
Testing, refining, grading, it's all an integral part of life. Sometimes for the believer it's savage infighting between flesh and spirit. There is no heritage, no denomination, no environment, no marriage or grace that offers any immunity. Now when you experience it, remember this, something is being built to shine as a star of first magnitude in eternity. How to face your trials now is the theme of a message by your radio pastor, Pastor Fred Penny.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to another chapter in the old, old story, the story that never gets old. It's the story of Jesus and his love. And today, as we look into the Holy Scriptures, we are in the book of James, chapter 1. It's a fascinating chapter that speaks right into the circumstances of the global pandemic here in the year 2020. It says this, "Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. It will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do." Now, verse 12, "Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." When you were going to school, high school, university, college, did you like the day of the test? Did you like all of that pressure to pass, all of that pressure to get an A or maybe a B or maybe an A+, the test of your knowledge of the subject matter? Some people, of course, get really uptight when the test is coming, and other people are a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more easygoing when it comes to a test. But I wonder if anyone could say this, a test is pure joy. Imagine a test, or in this case, he uses the word as well, trial. A trial is the testing of your faith. A trial is the testing of your faith. You know, do you trust God? Do you really believe? Do you want to hang in there, or do you want to quit? Are you going to give up on God? Are you going to do life your own way, or are you going to continue to be faithful and serve God and follow God? Now, trials of many kinds will come to all of us. That is obvious. That is a given. And sometimes when a trial comes, we might first of all ask, well, why me? Did I do something wrong? No, no, no. Trials come to all of us. And James tells us here it's a test of our faith. Now, the test of your math skills, the test of your knowledge of history, that is meant to force you to study, to read, to review the material, to get it deep inside your head. And so a test has a good outcome. It keeps us honest and it keeps us focused. And so the testing of your faith, James says here, is a good thing. He says more than that, of course. He says it's pure joy. Now that is a radical idea, that the testing of our faith is pure joy. Well, what's James' argument here? He says this, it will produce in us perseverance. Perseverance is something that we all need. And James says now in verse 4 here, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, of course, here he is talking about, as a Christian, following Christ, trusting Christ, being obedient to Christ. And this is a process. And part of the process is, how will we face challenges and trials? How will we face tragedy? How will we face doubts and fears. Well, instead of running away from those trials, you know, just trying to hide, James says, consider it pure joy. So why would he say that? Of course, it's because the outcome is maturity. The outcome is we become more like Jesus Christ, our Lord. So that's point number one. Trials will test our faith, but that trial serves a purpose. Through perseverance, we become more like Christ our Lord. And that's a joyful thing. That's a good thing. It's not only a good thing, it's the ultimate thing for a Christian to become more like Christ. The second thing James touches on here is, you know, these trials, they will test our wisdom. Not only will they test our faith, but secondly, they will test our wisdom. Why is this happening to me? And we try to figure it out. We try to rethink what we've said or done or decisions we've made, and we can get frustrated. And we might say things like this: I don't know what God is up to. I don't know where God is right now. I feel like God has left me. I feel like God has abandoned me. You see, this is a testing of our wisdom and our understanding. And James says now, when you find yourself in that position, so James recognizes that this can happen. James says now we should ask God for this wisdom. And he will be generous in giving us wisdom. And a psalm in the Old Testament, Psalm 73, it's a story of a man named Asaph. And Asaph began to struggle much with doubt. He doubted the goodness of God. And Asaph started comparing his life with the life, if I can use the expression, the life of his neighbor. His neighbor seemed to be healthier and happier and more prosperous than Asaph. And Asaph was frustrated and confused, and he didn't know what to do. And he says, I couldn't understand. And he said, it felt like I was on slippery ground. I was about to lose my grip on faith, lose my grip on God. And Asaph, if you read Psalm 73 there, it tells you, Asaph went into the sanctuary. He got on his knees. He prayed. He asked God for wisdom. He said, Lord, I don't understand. I'm confused. I need wisdom. And God spoke to Asaph, and God showed him something. And here's what he showed Asaph. He showed him life from an eternal perspective, not from just, you know, a few months or even a few years or even a decade. But God showed him an eternal perspective on life. And God said to Asaph, you know, Asaph, what really matters is how you prepare for eternity. What really matters more than things and relationships and even family, what really matters is your relationship with God. That's the core relationship. And so Asaph then received the perspective, that eternal perspective, and the burden of his frustration and his doubt was lifted. And then he said, you know what? I'm no longer on slippery ground. Unbelievers, actually, are the people on slippery ground. So I want to encourage you today, like Asaph, and as James encourages us now, if you lack wisdom about what God's up to, go to God in prayer, ask him for wisdom. And often God will direct you back to his word, because God speaks to us through his eternal and almighty word. The third thing trials do is sometimes they cause us to compare ourselves with other people. And so here in verse 9 of chapter 1, he says, you know, there are believers in humble circumstances, and then there are believers who are rich. And James says, you know, the rich don't have it as good as you think, and the poor don't have it as bad as you think. Again, an eternal perspective. Our relationship with God, our faith in God, is what really matters. And that's how we make it through life, and we make it through trials. And so James says now again, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials, because they produce perseverance, and that brings maturity, and you become complete, not lacking anything in following Christ, embracing his character and his behavior, his thoughts, his values. And you know, it's been said that your attitude determines your altitude. I like that statement. Let me say it again. Your attitude determines your altitude. You know, when trials happen, we can get bitter, we can get angry, we can get jealous of other people who seem to have life more comfortable than us. Or we can use these trials and these temptations and these frustrations, these tragedies even, give it to God, pray, ask God for wisdom, and allow God to grow godly character within us. Finally, verse 12. Blessed is the one, says James, who perseveres under trial, because having stood that test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. So, in conclusion here, keep your eyes on the future, keep your eyes on eternity, persevere under trial, stand the test, and you will receive the crown of life. That's the crown of eternal life. That's the gift of heaven. That's the gift of being in the presence of God forever and enjoying the new heaven and the new earth, a new resurrected body that is not subject to sickness, disease, or death. We have so much to look forward to. Even if life is difficult right now, we have so much to look forward to as the people of God. And so as I conclude today, consider it pure joy. That's a lot to say. We need God's help. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Word of God. We need faith in God. But James says, consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Don't quit. Do not quit. Don't give up on God. You'll receive the crown of life. If you have a burden that you'd like me to pray with you about, I invite you to call me here at Elam Tabernacle in St. John's at 579-9678, and I would be happy to pray with you. Other people answer the phone as well. If I'm not here, someone will answer the phone, but we would like to pray with you and support you as the family of God and as the people of God. May God bless you today. And now my wife Valerie is going to come and lead us in a moment of prayer.
Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word that says to count it all joy when we face trials of many kinds. It's such a counterintuitive passage of scripture, because we don't find joy in suffering, Lord. We don't find joy in this year of 2020 that has held so many challenges. And yet, Father, the joy is in turning to you. The joy is in finding that peace in you, your purposes, and you at the center. Father, we recognize that our lives go at a certain pace and rhythm, and we can be guilty of forgetting you and putting you aside on the shelf until we're in trouble. And so, Father, those troubles turn us to you. So, Father, today we take our worries, our fears, our anxieties, Lord, and our pain, and we give it to you. In prayer, Father, in communion with you, we say, Lord, we need you in these areas of our lives. We can't do life without you. We are desperate to find peace in this weary time, Lord. We are desperate to find a home for our souls. And so, Lord, we lean into you. We recognize our need for you. We surrender all to you. We surrender our time and our dreams and our wishes. We surrender our family and friends to you so that, Father, we can count it all joy, because our eyes are not on the things around us as they ebb and flow. But, Lord, our eyes are on you, Father. And so, Lord, I pray for everyone who's listening to the broadcast today, that we would find your strength in the midst of the challenges that we are facing. Lord, this has been a year of challenge, a year of unprecedented snowmageddon and global pandemic. And Father, we are desperate to lean into you, that when we hit December 31st, we are not the same people we were January 1st, that we are people who know your heart better. We are people who have been shaped by the circumstances to trust you no matter what, that our roots would grow deeper so that the fruit would grow larger in our lives, oh God. Father, continue that work in our hearts, we pray. Continue to melt and mold us into the character of Christ so that we can be your hands. It's not because we just want to be like Christ. It's that as we are like Christ, that fragrance of Christ spreads to those around us. Father, this world desperately needs you, so use us today. Use us as we struggle, as we seek to Count it all joy and seek your face. May you use these struggles, Lord, to draw others to Jesus. Father, we trust that you are working. We lay all our burdens at your feet. And we say, yes, Lord, you are the one who gives us joy. We pray these things in the powerful, matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
You've been tuned to the Old, Old Story broadcast. So many have found such great inspiration in those words. He giveth more grace as the burdens grow greater. He sends more strength as our labors increase. To added afflictions he adds his mercy. To multiplied trials he multiplies peace. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he gives and gives and gives again. Friend, none of us can make it through without God's help, without God's Holy Spirit to guide. It's a gloomy hour. When the lights go out, you need someone who comes alongside. So hear the words of Jesus. I have prayed for you. You'll find you're not alone. Somebody greater than you shares your battle and is bringing you to victory. Listen as the voice of the Holy Spirit calls your name now. Someone waits at 579-9678 to take your prayer need right now. Ivan Butler reminding you to join us next week at this time and on this station for the Old, Old Story. Now we leave, but someone is with you who will not. He's not a high priest that cannot be touched with your feelings, but was tested in all points just like you. So that's why he swings the door open and invites you to come boldly to obtain mercy, to find grace to help in your time of need. And that's a grace, lady, sir, that in the face of every hell's grenade will be sufficient for you.
I depend.